Well, I say we don't make it four more years before we sing that one again. Continuing our study in the book of Judges. And believe it or not, there's just one verse today. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the message is going to be 5 minutes, all right? One verse, Judges chapter 3 and verse 31, and it's up on the screen. And after him, that is Ehud, the judge, was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad. And he also saved Israel. Father, thank you for giving us the glimpse into this person who don't know a whole lot about him. And there's questions, but it's in your book for a reason. So today, challenge our hearts, open our hearts, convict us, and help us to again see the mighty power that you have as our deliverer. And so we'll trust in you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the characteristics of the end times that we've talked about a lot, as we've gone through Thessalonians and Revelation, is that most people have no idea, even the slightest clue, of the grave danger that they're in. They don't have any idea. You know, life in general is full of a lot of problems, even very difficult problems. Yesterday I preached a sermon or a funeral for a 28-year-old man who left a couple of kids, and there's at least 100 people in that chapel, and you know, most of them I could see had no hope, had no God to lean on to. And I also worked yesterday, so I dumped trash when it was all over, and liquor bottle after liquor bottle after liquor bottle that was outside that I threw away because that's where they went to for help. And it was just so sad and to see that. Life is full of problems, and most people don't realize the greatest problem is that they need delivered. There's health problems, there's difficulties with children, with family, employment, financial problems. People are just unhappy. People are depressed, broke, and empty, searching for answers, but always in the wrong direction. In our day, we see rising prices, products that are unavailable, shortages of the workforce, or supposed shortages, whatever is the truth. I was in Walgreens this week to get some Band-Aids for the funeral home, not for people that died, but for us who cut ourselves. There was a long line, one person behind the counter, but there was a sign up there that said that there was a nationwide shortage of pharmacists, so therefore our hours of operation have been shortened. It just seems odd to me that all of a sudden all the pharmacists decide to quit. I mean, something weird's going on, but this, you know, a nationwide shortage. We have all kinds of problems. We've all seen the pictures of the ships in the bay full of supposed products, you know, that are supposed to come in. And some states who are saying, come our way, we'll unload them for you. We also see in our nation the problems of a philosophy that if something doesn't go my way, well, I can do whatever I want to do because I'm mad and it didn't go my way. We can riot, we can loot, we can burn down this and burn down that and destroy because things just didn't go the way I thought they should go. We see horrible, horrible lies on television, in the media, and even when they're clearly proven wrong, they still won't admit that they were lying. It's just, we live just in an odd, odd day. Problems. Life in general. But people don't know that they're a breath away, one breath away from spending an eternity in damnation apart from Christ, apart from God, suffering for their sin for all eternity. In the book of Judges, again, the theme really is God's undeserving grace to an undeserving people. And we realize that God's only deliverer is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So today we arrive at a most unusual verse. In fact, I was kind of panicking at the beginning of the week about this one verse. What am I going to do? Could just skip it, you know? Who's going to know? I could have jumped to chapter 4, verse 1. Probably none of you would have said, hey, wait a minute, you skipped Shamgar, the deliverer. So that's one temptation for the preacher. The other temptation is to dive into one verse and say what it doesn't say. I mean, I read some commentaries that said, Shamgar loved God and was a faithful servant of God. We don't know that. Chances are he didn't even know God, and we'll get to that. So we have to be careful of both of those extremes. But as I dove in, I thought, wow, I don't know if I have enough time to even finish this one verse. Aren't you happy? So I'm going to avoid those temptations. We're just going to go through this one verse and see, I think, some amazing things. So God's deliverer is God's decision, right? Whomever God decides is his deliverer, that's God's decision. He can choose whom he wants to choose. And we know that all of these in Judges shows us that the judges God's raised up are incomplete. They are always pointing to the divine deliverer, which is Jesus Christ. So let's answer some questions today. Who was God's deliverer? Well, we see in verse 31, after Ehud, the left-handed dagger man, was Shamgar, the son of Anath. It's possible that this Shamgar wasn't even an Israelite, wasn't even God's chosen child of God's chosen people. Now, you know, even when Israelites were chosen, they still had to individually have faith in God. They didn't all just go to heaven. But he wasn't even a part of God's people. In fact, several authors said, his name is just a riddle. Shamgar is a riddle. And I'm going to save you from pages and pages and pages of historical data and all that kind of stuff and just try to summarize this Shamgar for you quickly of what I think possibly is this who this Shamgar is. Shamgar may have been a part of a troop of 800 men in Pharaoh's army named after the Canaanite goddess of war. That's the Anath. A man of valor bearing the widely used military nickname, Son of Anath. And I tend to believe that that's probably pretty close of who this deliverer was. So he wasn't one of God's chosen people in Israel. He served a foreign god. He didn't know the God of Israel. He was not a devoted follower of God. He wasn't a lover of God. So we have to be careful not to say what the Bible doesn't say here. In fact, this may be one of the reasons why we only have one verse, because the author didn't know much about him. Very possible. We're going to see another reason here later, and we'll get to our conclusion. But we also know that this Shamgar was popular. As we'll see when we go to chapter 5, we'll see him mentioned again, but hold that thought. So he was known in Ehud's day, in the next judge's day. He was known for his exploits, which we're going to see next, which is second point, how did God's deliverer deliver? Maybe not the best sentence in the world, but you get the idea. So how did God use this Shamgar to deliver his people? Well, let's read our verse again. After Ehud was Shamgar, the son of Anath, he was a mighty warrior. He killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad. Isn't it amazing that these deliveries that God has done for his people, deliverers, some of them just were the most unusual things that they used that God gave them power to use. You might recognize that this is very similar to somebody else in the book of Judges who killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, Samson. So it kind of reminds you of him. Well, it says here that he used an ox goad. Now, I doubt if any of you drove in today with your ox goad, right? I doubt if any of you have mowed grass this week and had an ox goad, you know, to get the cows and stuff out of the way. Well, we find out that an ox goad is about 8 feet long. So I'm 6'3½", so it's taller than me. So it's a pretty tall instrument. Some say it's up to 6 inches in circumference at the larger end. So I guess kind of like a trumpet at the larger end, it kind of goes out and it gets wide there, about 6 inches. So you got this 8 foot long, 6 inches in circumference at the larger end. The smaller end was filed down to be very, very sharp. And so that was used for driving oxen. So if you had an oxen that didn't cooperate, you could turn around to the sharp end and give a little poke there, and whatever an oxen does when they get poked, I don't know. It could be the larger end also had a spade on it, possibly, and an iron paddle could be used for cleaning up or, I guess, even whacking a cow on the head or a bull or whatever you're whacking. So think about that instrument. Now, that could be turned into what? Quite a weapon. especially that sharp end. I mean, that could be turned in. I mean, 8 foot, you know. Have you ever seen the, I don't know, sure who they are, you know, ninjas, and they have that big long thing. Ooh, you know, pull it. You know, that can be quite a weapon. So we find out that this Shamgar used this weapon, and with that weapon, he killed 600 Philistines. Now, that's pretty impressive. Now, some scholars think that possibly this was just the total. In his lifetime as a judge, we have no idea when he started. Apparently, right after Ehud, we have no idea how long. We don't know much of anything other than he used an ox goad. So whether he killed 600 at one time or 600 was the total just by himself alone, that's pretty impressive. Very, very impressive. And I couldn't help but think of some of the superhero movies of our day. Let's bring it down to our level. All right. Have you ever noticed that a superhero usually has some kind of a weapon? Shamgar and an ox goad. So I admit I'm not really up on my movies that much, so I got on the internet and looked up some of these. Well, Captain America had what? A shield. He was known for his shield. Spider-Man had those web shooters, whatever you call them. That's what the internet called them, and that's what I'm going to call them, a web shooter. Thor had a hammer, yeah. And I've seen some of those movies with Thor and the hammer. Kind of a cool hammer. It'd be cool to have. Iron Man had a suit. Shamgar had an ox goad. Now, picture if you're downtown, you know, and it's time for the Christmas parade, and, you know, and you see Captain America, the real Captain America, not a fake, right, coming with his shield. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the Hulk had his strength. I mean, you would be pretty impressed, wouldn't you? Or if there was a real Thor, well, in Shamgar's day, I think as he walked down through the byways and the crooked ways, as you saw, he probably walked down the main roads, we'll see in a minute, that it was like seeing a superhero. Hey, psst, that's Shamgar, and that's his ox goad. Oh, my. And maybe they'd run up, Shamgar, can I have your autograph? Like you might walk up to the Hulk, and the Hulk will say, Hulk smash, you know, or whatever. And I think he was probably well known for his superhero weapon. Of course, God gave him the power to do that, to deliver his people. And I wanted to mention Underdog, but all he did was take a pill. Remember Underdog? Okay. Yeah, come on. He was one of my favorite. Underdog. And someone said that, isn't it interesting how God delivers his people with the most odd collection of things? Shamgar's ox goat, Ehud's dagger, Jael's hammer, which we'll see next week, Gideon's horns and torches, a woman's millstone. Woman just drops a millstone on the guy and kills him. We'll see that in Judges. And a jawbone of a donkey. Can you imagine you're at the funeral? So how did your warrior get killed? Well, the guy hit him with the jawbone of a donkey. What a way to go. There's got to be a more, you know, honorable way to go. But it's interesting to ask this question. If he was not an Israelite, why in the world did he want to defend God's people? What was his motive for coming over and defending a people that most people hated from the Philistine army? We just don't know, except for God put it in his heart. So if you look just horizontally, you don't know, but vertically, God raised him up. And did he even know that God raised him up? I'm guessing probably not. But God gave him supernatural power to deliver with his supernatural ox goad. Amazing. And why did God do that? Because God loves his people. We saw this Thursday night as we talked about that in community group, that God's love and grace and mercy and compassion. God loves people. As I preached that service yesterday, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, I guess, but it didn't take much of a brain for me to see that people in the audience, some of them were drunk. It doesn't take too much of a genius to realize that. And then especially when I threw the trash away, I figured out why, you know. And then to see how they responded and see how they acted and stuff, And I was so reminded of our study here in Judges. And I realized again, God loves them. God has no delight in the death of the wicked. We saw that Thursday night. And it just helped me as a preacher to people who I knew really didn't want to listen to me to know that this is what they needed to hear. God loves them in all of their language and all of their actions. And when they have a false savior, whether it's a drug or liquor, and I brought that up, by the way, nobody threw anything at me. God loves them. And God loved these people, even though they went to idol worship and committed all those sins we've talked about. It was still His mercy and His compassion to raise up His deliverer. And it was His deliverer. I want you to see something else. If you have a Bible, or if you're looking there, if you jump over to Judges 5, verse 6, we see Shamgar again. This is the song which we'll get to. Deborah and Barak had written this song after their victory. But in the song, you know, if you ever get put in a song, that's pretty good. You know, grandma got run over by a reindeer or whatever. If your name's in a song, Big Bad John or something like that, you know, I like to change it to Big Bad Tim. But this is the song. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, there he is. Oh, isn't that cool? So we get a little bit more insight in this guy. Or at least what it was like there. In the days of Jael. So now we've got something going on with these judges. The highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. So what we find out in the day of Shamgar from this verse that's a song is that times were very, 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 very bad. But we also realize that he was well known. He was popular. They knew he delivered them, and he said, Shamgar, just like we might say Superman, or Underdog, or Hulk, or whatever your famous, Batman. I know there's a big debate on whether or not he's a superhero or not, but you guys can debate that later. Shamgar is well known. He is God's deliverer. And that's his nickname was well known too, son of Anath, or great warrior. But did you see what's going on in Shamgar's day? The highways are abandoned. The travelers kept to the byways. The Hebrew word byways means crooked ways. It was so bad, it was so dangerous, you did not go out on the main highways. Your life would be in danger. It'd be like after 9/11 when you looked up in the sky and what did you not see? An airplane. No contrails, no nothing, no airplanes. They were all on the ground. You go out to the highways. Let's say you're going to grandma's house for Christmas. You wouldn't go on the main road. Nobody would be there. You'd have to do like the song said, over the river and through the woods, whatever. Through the river. Not through the river. Don't go through the river. And that's the way it was. It was so dangerous. I guess the main roads were patrolled by these evil Philistines and soldiers who had no morals whatsoever. So if you wanted to go somewhere and you risked your life to go somewhere, you took what verse 6 says in chapter 5, the byways, the crooked ways, back through the woods and the forests and behind the main roads that were cut out under the cover of trees and brush. Monday night, I had to drive to Vanderbilt University to pick up somebody who passed away at that hospital. You ever drive in Nashville at 5 p.m.? You ever have a heart attack after driving in Nashville at 5 p.m.? It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. As I was driving into Nashville, in the distance, I saw big black smoke. And I thought, oh, no, this is doubly not good. Traffic and big black smoke. Well, thankfully, Vanderbilt, you kind of veer off to whatever road that is to the right, so you avoid going downtown there. But I realized quickly there's another downtown. People everywhere. Doctors, nurses, students, people just crossing roads. I had to call how to find out where to go. I couldn't even find a place to pull the van over. Finally, I found a parking lot. The only parking lot I found was the Vanderbilt Psychiatric Hospital. So they came out and said, can we help you? No, I'm good. I'm good. So finally, I was able to finally figure out where to go. Got the body, and I'm heading back and thinking, this is not going to be good. This is just not going to be good. It's totally dark now. There's car lights, traffic everywhere. Well, the GPS sent me down the back way, I'm guessing because of the fire. And I wasn't the only one. And guess what kind of roads it sent us on? Crooked back roads. And I'm thinking, where in the world am I going? And it wasn't just me, so everybody else's GPS was scientifically taking us away from the main traffic, and we were off the main roads, and we were going back to the crooked back roads for protection. That's what was going on in Shamgar's day. You just didn't go to the 7-Eleven to get you whatever you get there, a big Slurpee. Just didn't do that. And when I was in Florida, I went out for a run one day, and a big four-wheel drive truck veered over at me, opened its door, and yelled something at me. Well, it didn't hit me. And so it's driving off, and I might have shared this story years ago, and I reached down and pretended like I picked up some rocks, and I went like this. And all of a sudden, that four-wheel drive went, "Rawr!" And you ever hear big, big, fat four-wheel drive tires slam on their brakes? It's quite a haunting sound. And I went, "Oh, no, what have I done?" And I immediately went that way. I'm jumping fences. I'm in people's backyards. I'm hiding behind bushes. And here comes that truck down the side road. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to survive this. And so I ran a little bit, jumped another fence, and got behind a bush. And finally, I don't know how long I waited, I finally ventured out back onto the side road and headed home. That's what it was like back in their day. I don't know what they had to catch me first. but it's hard for us to imagine that, isn't it? What if you couldn't have just driven here today? We had to meet at 2 a.m. over in these woods. That's what was going on. It's hard for us to grasp. So we know a little bit about Shamgar now. How did God deliver? Deliver with an 8-foot ox goad. The times were horrible because the people were under bondage and they knew it and they needed a deliverer. Well, look at lastly before we conclude, before communion today. The reason God raised up a deliverer, and I find this absolutely amazing back in verse 31. The very last part of the verse. I mean, let's go back. He killed 600 Philistines with an 8-foot poker. That's pretty impressive. I mean, and he also saved Israel. Move on. Next chapter. What? What do you mean? It's like when you read Genesis. God created the heavens and earth, and there was void, and there was darkness, and God said, "Let there be light," and God said, "What? You mean in just a few verses you can tell us about the creation?" The Bible does that often, doesn't it? Amazing. Can you imagine a sports news show? We now go to Bill with the sports. Thank you. And he goes through all of the scores, the high school scores, the bowling scores, and he's showing highlights and all that. And at the very end, the announcer says, "And also the Braves won the World Series. Now back to the weather." What would be the first story that they would start with? The Braves won the World Series. We'd go, what a horrible newscaster. "And also the Braves won the World Series. Now back to the weather. It's going to be rainy today, and we hope that you'll take an umbrella." I mean, it just is amazing. This superhero, by God's power, killed 600 Philistines to deliver his people, and he also saved Israel. What? Are you kidding me? Well, the glory goes to who? Glory goes to God. And sometimes we have more definition and more interesting insights here, but it's just fascinating that God raised up this man to save his people. Now, just a couple of conclusions. Number one, in all of our troubles, we look to God for deliverance. In all of our troubles. We know from this one verse, God can use whoever he wants to use. God can use anyone, anything, any circumstance, even do a miracle that we never expected. Now, I'm talking not necessarily salvation deliverance right now, just general deliverance. God delivered his people from all kinds of troubles. And isn't it something to know that you can get up every day and to know that God has the power to use anyone, anything, any circumstance, and maybe do a miracle in your life to deliver you? That ought to put a little bit of bounce in our step. I've got a big God. I like what in Daniel or David and Jonathan's conversations in 1 Samuel 14:6. And Jonathan had said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised." Why did he say that? Why in the Bible do the Old Testament people of God often call the enemy the uncircumcised? Was it because they were interested in health issues? They were interested in the anatomy of people? No. They did that because in saying the uncircumcised, they were really saying they don't belong to God and we do. That's what that meant. "You uncircumcised Philistine, today I'll cut your head off." That's exactly what David said. It's exactly what Jonathan said. So he's basically saying, we have a big God, and we are following his promises. They do not have our God. Let's go. And then he went on to say, "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." What a great verse. 1 Samuel 14:6. You ought to underline that one in your Bible or mark it and go back to it later. God can save with whomever he chooses. He can deliver us from all of our troubles by using a Shamgar or a King David, by using an 8-foot piece of wood that was carved very crudely, or using a whole military army's arsenal, or by bringing a friend into your life to encourage you or help you or to pray for you, or by swaying a boss to make a decision in your favor, or by touching the heart of that loved one you've been praying for. What a great verse. In all of our troubles, we look to God for deliverance, no matter what it is. And that ought to give us hope to never give up. God knows how to deliver his people, even if we suffer for a long time. Secondly, in all of our troubles, we desire to be used by God for deliverance. In all of our troubles, we desire to be used by God. And I thought it was interesting how many authors made an observation that it's pretty consensus that this guy was not an Israelite. He didn't love God, although I saw some good authors that I appreciate said, oh, he was a lover of God and he followed God. We just have no idea. The evidence points from his nickname that he was not even an Israelite. But God chose a man who wasn't even of his people to deliver his people. And many said that maybe the author was embarrassed that Israel had to depend on somebody like this. There was nobody amongst our own people that God could use. I think that's a point worth thinking about. And the author of Judges was a little embarrassed. I'm just going to write down. Now, I know God directed his authors to write down scripture as God wanted in there, but God supernaturally also used their personalities and the words they liked to use and what they were feeling. It's a miracle. And so the author, in all of that mystery, only gave us one little verse and then the other one in chapter 5. Because maybe he was embarrassed. Was there nobody in God's church that he could use to deliver? Because isn't it true that God uses people to deliver? Sure he does. Sure he does. And God chooses for deliverance, not based on any performance. God didn't look at Shamgar and said, man, he can wield that ox goad. You know, Shamgar's out there at 5 in the morning practicing, twirling it. Ooh, I better use him. No, God never chooses by performance. He chooses by grace. God chose Abraham, not because that's a guy I can choose right there. No, Abraham was an idol worshiper. And so God doesn't choose us by performance, but God does choose willing hearts. Are there no willing hearts in Israel that God could say, I'm choosing you to be a minister to my people? Have you ever thought about your life that God chooses you to be a minister to your people here? How about your family? Do you minister to your family? I love it when little Noah, how old's Noah? 4? Not Noah, you're big Noah. I got so many grandkids, I forgot his name. River. Big Noah. I like how River, I don't know why he brings it up all the time, when he's in here, is this your job? He'll ask me, is this your job? Is your job telling people about God? Isn't that neat how he knows that? Isn't that awesome? Your job's telling people about God, about Jesus. Yeah. Are you going to work? Yeah. It's just neat that even a little bitty four-year-old, is that how old he is? I'm horrible, aren't I? And I do know he's my grandson, right? I've got it there. That he's picked up on that. And in all of our failures, though, God has put us in our families for a reason. You know? And my grandkids just think the world of doo-doo. By the way, that's Kelly's name, doo-doo. Ask her later how she got. I'm Shishu and she's doo-doo. Our gravestone's going to be the weirdest gravestone on the planet. Here lies doo-doo and here lies Shishu. Call this number if you want to know what those mean. How about at your job? You minister at your job, your friends, your church. I shared Thursday night, you know, we had a couple of visitors come to our Thanksgiving banquet that I work with, and they were just blown away by the love they saw in this place and by how you talked with them and you treated them like you knew them. I was so impressed. I was so thrilled. You know, even when we're in trouble, God's desire is to use us. Is that our desire? Do we have a willing heart? And it's something worth bringing up. Was there no willing heart in Israel that God had to pick this guy who didn't even know him to deliver his people? And lastly, in our greatest trouble, God's deliverer is Jesus Christ. All of these judges and deliverers, that's what they're pointing to. They all fall short. They all have problems. This guy, more than likely, was not even a knower of God. And I hope maybe after all these exploits that he did turn to the God of Israel. Hopefully he did. They all fall short, but not Jesus. God's choice is Jesus. That's it. And as I shared with these family and friends yesterday who were standing before me, that I said, I don't know where you go to for deliverance. Maybe you go to the bottle. Maybe you go to drugs. Maybe you go to these other things. But the only deliverer there is Jesus, and that's the deliverer you need. He's the only one. And I love this verse. I bring it up often in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God gave no other person. In this time in Israel, God gave no other person other than Shamgar. All pointed to the one he gave, Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in the real Lord's Prayer, John 17. When Jesus spoke these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given. He's the one that gives eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Father, thank you for this little story, this one verse, of this great, great, great deliverer, Shamgar, who only delivered because you gave him the power to deliver. You did a supernatural thing in his life and you delivered your people. Lord, I pray for those who are here today. In fact, all of us are looking for some kind of deliverance in our trials, in our troubles. Loved ones we're praying for, co-workers we're praying for, neighbors we're praying for, friends we're praying for, physical needs we're praying for, just burdens of life. You are the deliverer, and your hand is never shortened. So God, may we be strong, trusting in you and your power to deliver. And for those that we're burdened about, maybe some here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, you are the deliverer, your Son Jesus. Give them life. Give them the ability to trust you. And now, Lord, as we worship you around your table, I pray that the Spirit of God would churn our hearts to confess sin, to forsake sin, and to have humble hearts thanking you for the salvation you give. In Christ's name, amen.